Let's talk races. This is Chasing Checkers with Chase McKay.
Checkered flag is in the air.
Oh, yeah! Woo!
Racing lives here. Your sports live here.
All right, boys, let's do this.
On 102.5 and 106.3, The Game and the Game Nashville Sports Network.
And welcome in to the season debut, the re-debut of Chasing Checkers here on 102.5, 106.3, The Game and the Game Nashville Sports Network. I am Chase McCabe with you. Of course, the soup, as people refer to me as, but also mornings from 9 to 11 here on 102.5, 106.3, The Game with Big Joe Dubin, the Chase and Big Joe Show. Very excited to be back talking some racing with all of you. It's presented by the Nashville Super Speedway and the Nashville Fairgrounds Speedway. The Nashville Super Speedway Cracker Barrel 400. You can get your tickets by calling 1-866-RACE-TIX or by going to NashvilleSuperSpeedway.com. Also, the Fairgrounds, and we'll talk a little bit more about that later in the show with Anthony Tate, who is their general manager. They got a big weekend with the ARCA Menards Series on Saturday, the Super Late Models, and also they'll be on the Quarter Mile Friday night. So really looking forward to that. But I'm excited to be back. A lot of you have asked, you know, when I was going to do this show again or a podcast or something. And, you know, it's something that I really enjoy doing. But the short version is I was doing a lot here at Cromwell Media. I got promoted a few times. I became the program director, then the director of operations. I had the daily show that I do. And so I didn't have a lot of time, but I missed it. And I missed talking racing, and this market missed having a racing show. And, you know, it was kind of nostalgic for me. Shout out to old friends, Darren McFarlane and Liz Allison, because I always did the race night show with them Wednesdays at 6. So it's cool to have a NASCAR show, a racing show, Wednesdays at 6 o'clock. So we'll be here every week through the summer talking racing, and really looking forward to it. So with that, let's get into it. Talladega was this weekend, and what a wild one it was. So we are lucky enough with our partnership with the Motor Racing Network. They provide us with a 1-minute race recap. So this was how it all sounded, all the drama, everything that happened at the Talladega Super Speedway, courtesy of MRN.
They mash the gas. Green flag is in the air, and we are underway here at Dega.
Four wide for the race lead going into turn number three. Michael McDowell able to get out by a bumper.
And here comes another wave of green flag pit stops, and a couple of the cars get crossed up coming into the trioval. Ryan Blaney gets clipped. Brad Keselowski, Kyle Busch crash and collide at the entrance to the trioval. Here comes William Byron to the outside. Green and white checkered flag is waving to the start-finish line, and Kyle Larson will win stage one. Trouble on the main straightaway. John Hunter Nemechek gets turned around, leaving the exit of pit road, and he almost clips another car. John Hunter will spin his car to the bottom of the racetrack. No caution is on the speedway.
Here they come, side by side for the lead. Lap traffic straight ahead. Wheel to wheels, they come to the line. Checkered flag is in the air. A photo finish by inches. Austin Cindric will win the Jack Links 500.
Austin Cindric, your winner. And again, thanks to MRN for that race recap. That's how it sounded. You can hear those races on the Game Nashville Sports Network, whether it's here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game, 94.9 The Fan, or Sports Talk 830. But Cindric with his first win of the year, he only led 7 laps, but he led the most important one. That is for sure. And obviously was very excited to get that win. And it was big for him. Because he got a win late in the year last year, you know, that put him in the playoffs, and then does it this year and finds himself in a better position with the W and another one for Penske. That 2 car has been so good historically at Talladega. This was Austin Cindric with Regan Smith of Fox Sports after the W.
I'm just so proud of this team. I mean, from the cycles to the fast cars to the fuel only stops, Doug, my spotter, everybody. I've been trying for, I don't know, probably 3-4 years now to get a cup win for John Menard and Menards, and that bright yellow car looks great up front, and I'm just so thankful for everyone's support and you know, the Ford Performance Roush Yates engines package to these types of racetracks are second to none, and we talk about it in every single one of those meetings why we haven't won one of these races, and No, just really proud of the effort and very thankful for Discount Tire, Snap-on Auto Trader, Roger Penske, everybody makes this possible for me.
You guys had the quickest pit stop on the last pit cycle of the race that helped you get the lead, but you had to hold all these guys off coming to the start-finish line. What was going on as you were coming off of turn four?
Yeah, no, it definitely wasn't easy. I give a lot of credit. You know, Kyle did a lot to take care of me, you know, pushing me at the right times in the tri-oval. As mad as I was at him after Atlanta, I feel like we're good now. So that was, that was great. I mean, having a photo finish at Talladega and to be able to do it, getting the playoffs in front of this amazing crowd on a beautiful day in Alabama.
It was a beautiful day in Alabama. And Austin Cindric does get the win. Now, he wins. Kyle Larson is second. As he mentioned, Kyle was the one pushing him. William Byron third. Noah Gregson, who we talked to last week on the Chasing Big Joe show, who we were thinking had a really good chance. He had a good finish, top five in fourth. Chase Elliott fifth. Carson Hocevar sixth. Then it's Alex Bowman, Bubba Wallace, Daniel Suarez, Austin Dillon running out the top 10. So the four Hendrick drivers all found themselves in the top 10, which was a really cool thing for them to get that done. But ultimately, it's Team Penske getting the win. And look, I think Cindric really needed that. I mean, Byron's leading the standings and then Larson. But you think about now, Cindric, who was 14th, which is not terrible, not bad at all. But now he's got that playoff spot with the win. I mentioned Gregson earlier, who has been way back in the standings. He moved up a spot to 31st. He actually passed Brad Keselowski, who had another DNF. They needed a top five finish in that team. I mean, they're trying to kind of get it all together. That was the first top five that they've had this year. In fact, looking at the standings, it was only the second top 10 that they have had this year for that number four. So Noah and his team really, really needed it. But the story that everybody is talking about is the exchange with teammates, and that is, of course, with Joey Logano and the eventual race winner, Austin Cindric. It all started at the end of the second stage, which was won by Bubba Wallace, in this audio exchange with Joey Logano.
Way to go, Austin. Way to go, you way to go. What a stupid God. He just gave it to him. Gave a Toyota stage win. Nice job. Way to go. What the put that in his freaking note detector to us.
So that was Joey Logano. Not nice, not happy, however you want to put it. And basically his whole beef was not that Austin wasn't pushing him, but that Austin was pushing a Toyota, Bubba Wallace, another manufacturer, not a Ford, into a position to get those stage points and to get the victory. So Joey was naturally upset at the whole exchange. Now, we all know that, you know, tempers can flare and all that stuff, and in the moment, you're in the car. But obviously, this has been the big story that everybody has talked about. My thing, before you hear from anybody else, is you're in their office. So when we go and when TV or radio, they go and they play the in-car audio, you're in the driver's office. You might hear things in the office you don't want to hear. I mean, like, they're working. It's intense. It's hot. He didn't get the stage win. We obviously know he got disqualified later on, which, obviously wasn't good. But he was heated. He wasn't happy. And so should he have said it? Should he have talked about his teammate? Okay, probably not. But that's his in-car audio that, yes, I know everybody can hear. He knows everybody can hear. But I'm not going to get on Joey for being frustrated and having a frustrating moment and in something that, you know, he was going to be able to work out with his teammate at some point in time. This was earlier in the week. This was Monday, early Monday. Austin Cindric went on an interview with Shannon Spake. It was on NASCAR.com and kind of talked about his perspective in some of the situation.
Yeah, well, it's definitely not a normal situation by any means, at least publicly. You know, I feel like those are types of conversations or frustrations that as a team we try to keep in the family. Mm-hmm. But yeah, obviously there's clearly a lot of emotion there. And I think for us as a team, you know, how do we get better? Because I totally think that we could have won, you know, with one of our three cars there between me, the 22 and the 21. Like, we had enough people there to get that thing done for the mm-hmm. second stage and failed to do so. So, you know, I was, you know, not satisfied with how that ended either. And, you know, I think I could have done a better job in a few areas. And I think there's some areas that we need to discuss as far as the emotions and the name calling and all that. I look to not put much value into it. You know, I feel like we do a lot for each other mm-hmm. and I feel like we have to not overlook, you know, what makes us so good. But because that is the truth. And you see it time and time again with our company on these types of tracks. So, I feel strong to stick to that belief, but also, you know, challenge, you know, where can I be better and where can we do better as a team? And, you know, those stage ends are rehearsals for the end of the race.
Yeah.
You know, because the stage lengths, I mean, 60, 60 and 68. So like, you're going to be on a similar laps on tires. You're probably going to be in a similar situation with the pit strategy, unless a caution comes out. Like, a lot of those things are very similar to how the race ends. So you want those to go that way as well for the end of the race. So, like I said, it's something we'll definitely review.
That was Austin Cindric, courtesy of NASCAR.com, kind of talking about the situation with his teammate Joey Logano, the comments that Logano made. And I'm glad that he said, like, hey, you know, the name calling, the frustration on the radio, that doesn't bother me, because he's a driver. He knows how that goes. He knows that you're going to have those moments where you're going to get pissed off about something and you're letting the frustration out on the spotter and the crew chief in the car. You're in the office. He gets it. But I also like that he recognized that maybe there's some things that they got to discuss internally that he could have done better in that situation. He knows how important those stage wins are. And ultimately, that's you know, where he could have done things a little bit differently. They have since talked, from what I understand. This was Joey Logano, courtesy of SiriusXM Radio, earlier this week, kind of giving his side to it and why he got so heated and so frustrated.
Multitude of things that kind of lead up to that moment. And here's the deal, when you go super speedway racing, there's different rules in place for the teams. Right, there's the OEM rules, there's the team rules, and you try to put these all in place to try to give your cars the best chance to win. Right, everyone knows super speedways, you got to work together, right? Things got to go together, and the rules that were set in place weren't followed. And that ticked me off quite a bit, because I feel like I've always done the right thing and I try really hard to do that. And the rules have been put in place because of things that we've done wrong in the past, right? So, like, you don't want to make the same mistakes over and over again. And it was a, you know, it wasn't the first offense kind of situation. It's a straw that broke the camel's back. And yeah, I lit up pretty quickly, cause I care, right? Like, I'm into it, man. I like racing. I am in 100%, and I expect things to go a certain way. When they don't, yeah, I get pissed off. And you know, Austin and I talked about it, you know, we've got to move forward, right? That's what it is. So, you know, I explained my side, he understood, we move on. That's pretty much all there is to it. Like, there's no sense of airing our dirty laundry and really airing out what the actual rules are, because that's private information that doesn't need to be out to everybody. But the facts are that what we set in place wasn't happening, and that's why I got frustrated. But we got, like I said, we talked about it and we moved on.
That was Joey Logano earlier this week on SiriusXM NASCAR Radio. I know a lot of you out there don't like Joey Logano. You think he whines, and I mean, there's been times where he has. I think he's a really good race car driver. I think he's one of the best race car drivers. He's a three-time champion for a reason. He won out here, Nashville, last year. And I think when he says, I get frustrated because I care, I believe that. I relate to that, because I get frustrated and sometimes, you know, have the quick trigger in the moment and the quick fuse, because I'm very passionate about what I do, and I want, you know, everybody else to have that same view, even though sometimes they don't. And sometimes mistakes are just going to simply happen. And that was one of those things that I think occurred in this situation. So that was kind of the breakdown. It's interesting that it's been talked about a lot this week in racing circles, but all appears that they have moved on. And look, I think it's a good lesson for a young driver in Austin Cindric, who is still very early in his career. I also think it's cool that Penske has, you know, that kind of relationship in there with their teams and drivers. I mean, Tim Cindric, Austin's father, is the president of Team Penske, and obviously that didn't get in the way. So I think it's good to listen. It's good to hear both sides. I'm curious of how you think about it and what you feel. You can tweet at me at Chase on Game if you want to discuss it further. But ultimately, Cindric gets the win. Unfortunately, Logano and Priest were disqualified because of some spoiler issues that they had. And so that did not work well for them when it comes to the final finish and the standings. They're credited. Logano gets 39th, which is last, and Priest 38th. So that is it for them. But they'll be at Texas. We'll talk more about that a little later on in the show. But coming up next, last week on the Chase and Big Joe show, we were out at the Nashville Super Speedway for a Wheels and Heels event, and one of the keynote speakers was Jamie Little of Fox Sports. We got to sit down with Jamie, talk a little racing with her and her journey. You will hear some of that conversation when we come back. It's Chasing Checkers, presented by the Nashville Super Speedway and the Nashville Fairgrounds Speedway, here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Welcome back into Chasing Checkers here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game, the Game Nashville Sports Network. If you miss anything, you can check out the podcast by searching Chasing Checkers or by going to thegamenashville.com. And we are presented by the Nashville Super Speedway. 1-866-RACE-TIX or NashvilleSuperspeedway.com is where you can get your tickets for the Cracker Barrel 400 weekend coming up May 30th through June the 1st over at the Nashville Super Speedway, and by the Nashville Fairgrounds Speedway. They got racing this weekend too. You can go to NashvilleFairgroundsSpeedway.racing to get your tickets for the Arkham Menards Series race weekend. It's Friday, May 2nd, Saturday, May 3rd. That's Friday and Saturday. The Arkham Music City 150 and the North-South Slim 100s, which we're going to talk to Anthony Tate later on in the show about that. Speaking of the Nashville Super Speedway, we were out there last week. They had a really cool event put on by my good friend, Katie Myers, their director of marketing, Wheels and Heels, which was a huge success. It was women in motorsports, and one of them that was there was Jamie Little, Fox Sports, one of the absolute best. And she was nice enough to come over to our table, sit down with me and my co-host, Big Joe Dubin. Here was our conversation with Jamie Little.
Jamie, how you doing?
Hey, I'm doing well. Good to see you guys.
Good to see you. Thanks so much for being here and doing this. And we obviously love your work on whether it's NASCAR or IndyCar. They got you everywhere these days.
But I know you're busy. I'll take it.
You love doing events like this.
Yes, I do. And it's so fun. I just walked into the media center and I'm like, this looks a lot different than it used to. And there's pink everywhere. So I've never seen this much pink at a racetrack. It's beautiful. It's a great event today. We're celebrating women in motorsports. There's more and more every year.
When was the last time you were at this track? Because NBC's had it, you know, pretty much since it came back. So, I mean, it's probably been a minute.
You know, it's been a few years. I covered the truck series on Pitt Road. So I don't know when that was. Maybe 22 was the last time I was here.
Okay.
There were definitely, you know, the Amazon, all that stuff was behind the racetrack. So it looks a little different out here. But I love this place. It's such a great facility, an amazing track. We always had great racing in IndyCar here, Xfinity Cup, you name it.
And now it's back with both.
It is.
Yes.
What got you into all this?
Gosh, I was just telling the ladies, they're like, did you, you know, have a dad? That I was like, I was raised by a single mom, only child, but I grew up in Lake Tahoe. So I was very outdoorsy. I was a tomboy and I loved dirt bikes for some reason, the smell of them, like how much fun they were. I just loved it. And we moved to Vegas when I was 13 and I met a guy that I went to school with, and not a guy, he was a kid, and he raced dirt bikes. He's now married to Pink and has been for years, but Carrie Hart is the one he raced motocross. And I thought, this is the coolest thing. And I'm in love with it. I'd bring the dirt bikes magazines to class. People are like, what is your deal? I'm like, I love the stories. I love the athletes, just everything that it was about. And I found my calling that way.
I love it. I tell people it's kind of like NASCAR and hockey are similar to me because you can talk about it, but until you go to it and see it, it's just a whole new, you get a whole new appreciation for it, which I'm sure you get to see all the time. You still get kind of the butterflies when you go to the tracks and see everything?
Yes, absolutely. The coolest thing about racing is it's unscripted. So we're out there. You don't know what's going to happen. We can do all the research in the world and hear from every driver. You don't know what's going to happen that night. And that's the exciting part of it. And live television, live radio, like it doesn't get better than that. What you say, it's out there. Ouch. And I love it. I still get those butterflies at the start of, you know, we have the flyover and the national anthem playing. You're like, all right, what does today have in store? So it's exciting. I love it. Obviously, I've been doing it a long time. So
Fox Fox IndyCar and NASCAR. So Jamie Little is here with us. The play-by-play. How much fun have you enjoyed being in the booth doing that with the Truck Series and ARCA Series?
It's so different. It's so much fun. It's a different skill set. You know, I went up there in 21 was the first time I started doing the ARCA Series. And, you know, I went up there thinking I'm just going to be the pit reporter in the booth, but it's not like that at all. It's just so much different. You're an air traffic control cop. You're working with your analysts, trying to bring the best out of them. And you have to know everything that's going on all the time. When you're a pit reporter, you're focused in on the storylines, what's happening with your drivers at this time, who's having trouble, who's excelling, who's moving through the field. It's so much different. But now that I'm doing trucks full time, I've kind of done part time the last couple of years. It's every week and it's so much fun. And this year we're getting drivers rotating through. So I'm getting different, you know, it's Joey Logano one week or Brad Keselowski. Last week I had Carson Hocevar. So you're getting these guys who aren't professional broadcasters bringing, you know, everything that they know about the sport straight out of the seat. So that's been a lot of fun.
What I always have enjoyed when, because Fox really started doing that with Xfinity and you know, now the trucks, is when you have storylines connected to the drivers. Like we all know Carson Hocevar hasn't made a ton of friends on the track this year. It's fun when, like, you see two guys that, you know, they ran each other the week before, but now they're having to stand there and work together, and it's your job to make sure they don't start fighting or something.
Yes, it's so funny. I mean, you know, drivers, and I think athletes across the board, they get it. Like, television could be their next outlet. That could be somewhere that they go when they're done racing, and they take it seriously, and they're all knocking down the door. They want to be part of the broadcast. They want to be in the booth with us, even, you know, crew chiefs. But it is funny, guys who've, you know, they didn't have the best, like, for instance, I had at Daytona, I had Joey Logano and Kevin Harvick. We all know the famous spats between them, who wears the fire suit in your family. And now they can work together as professionals. And it's so much fun because they all just have a different background, a different perspective of how things go. And they have a different background in the truck series. So I love hearing that, trying to get them to bring that out and what they see in drivers that maybe we don't.
You talk about being in the booth. I've got ADHD. Chase has ADHD. Do you have to have that when you're doing play-by-play? Because there's so much going on. I'm thinking it's you don't know what's going on. There's a wreck here. There's something going on here.
Yes.
Oh, he's in pit row. What's going on here? And you're an air traffic cop. End up there in the booth is a great way to describe that. I mean, is it as chaotic as we think it is?
At moments, absolutely, because there is so much going on. But the best part is when you get in the groove and it's like you're sitting there with your buddies watching the race and you're talking and discussing and the racing is going on. And it's so good. And it's like, and we're going to break in 10. It's like it breaks it up.
Right.
So you have to, you know, make it flow the best that you can. Bring it back from break. You're selling things, you know, the promos. And there's so much more that goes into it than just knowing about the race and what's happening. But yes, it after a race, I don't care if it's 2 hours or 4 hours, you are exhausted mentally.
Right?
There's a lot going on and trying to keep those guys, like Carson wanted to talk nonstop last week, and it's like I'm hitting him on the leg, like I gotta get to break.
Do you have Pink's number on speed dial?
I do have her number. I haven't talked to her in years and years and years. But yes, I went to their wedding. It was about as pink as this, literally.
What, I mean, this is the career. I mean, look at this. I mean, I know you're grateful for it, but it's some mornings where you're like, good Lord, thank you for this.
Yes, I can't believe it's still happening. You know, it's racing, but the things that it brings along, you know, the opportunities that you have, the outreach, you know, people that you can make a difference in people's lives, animals' lives. I'm a big big animal advocate. And so when I go to cities like this, a lot of times I'll find a shelter and raise awareness. Like, I wouldn't be able to do that if nobody knew my name. I mean, I could go do it, but I can't be raising the money that I do, giving back and raising awareness. So I'm very lucky. You know, this year already, I got to interview the President of the United States, a sitting president.
Right. Yeah, you did.
I don't care who you are. That's the second time I got to do that. He came to Daytona. I got to interview him. They call and ask for me. Those are those moments you're like, dang, that's pretty cool. Like, I might think I screwed this up or screwed that up, but if they're asking you to interview the president, that's pretty cool.
Yes.
And then just a couple weeks ago at Darlington, Michael Jordan, like, got to interview him. He sees me, he's like, Jamie, I watch you every Friday night. I don't miss a truck race. I don't miss an Xfinity race. I don't miss a cup race. And we're shooting the breeze back and forth. I'm like, can we do a quick interview? Sure. What do you want? Where do you want me to go? Moments, you're like, this is the most powerful man in who you are. Mm-hmm. Michael Jordan is the man. And for him to know you on a first name basis and say yes, anything you need, is pretty special.
I'm glad you brought him up because I remember when, I can't remember if one back, he was here and everybody was like, okay, you know, don't look him in the eye. Like, it's Michael Jordan. You know? And people were kind of standoffish because he was new to the sport. And like, I don't think people truly realized how invested he was and how much he loved it. Have you seen that change at the racetrack? Because now he's a lot more accessible. He's part of the NASCAR family. Because I've also heard him, and I think it was with you that he said this, that he doesn't have that fix with basketball anymore.
Yes.
He gets it with NASCAR, that competitiveness.
Yes, he actually told me that in an interview I did with him a year ago at Talladega after Tyler Reddick won. He was in victory lane. Well, to that point, Jordan did not get interviews. Yeah. His people didn't allow him. He didn't want to. He just wanted to be the team owner. He's been a fan his whole life. Like, it goes back to, like, with his family. Huge fan of NASCAR. So now as an owner, you know, we did a sit-down interview with him when 2311 first started, and that was it. He wanted Strahan to be the interviewee, and that was it. And then he did an interview. So Tyler Reddick was last year, and I knew MJ was there. I ran to Victory Lane, and I'm like, and I was like, can I chat with you? He's like, sure. So it kind of broke the seal. We had a great interview. He was so forthcoming. Like you said, you remember that moment where he said, this is my fix now. That's why I'm so invested here and I love it so much. So he's done a couple other interviews. Still not a ton, but he does have a team that kind of, you know, they protect him. But he's one of us. Like, what's so cool is when a superstar, whether you're a sports figure or you're, you know, an actor, and you come into our world of motorsports, it's so much different than us knowing them in their world. Like, he's like, we know you, watch you all the time. We'll do it every once. Great guy. It's so good for our sport to have him part of it, and he's so invested.
And I like hearing from him. Denny's great, but like, when you're talking to Denny, are you driver? Are you car owner, Denny? Which Denny are you right now?
Yes.
You know, and so to hear MJ talk about 2311, which they've done a ton with the shop and all that stuff, they got a really good team, talented drivers. I think it's cool because you hear how genuine he is about making that a championship-winning team.
Yeah, and I love it because over the years, you've had celebrities come in, sports figures, big names come in like, oh, I'm part owner of a NASCAR team. They don't do it right. They don't get the top-notch drivers out there to be competitive. They're trying to make money and selling sponsorship and putting their name on it. He's actually invested. Ayers is the most incredible race shop you'll see. He is all in, obviously, with their drivers. They've got the wins. They win every year. That's what he wants. He wants to compete for a championship. They've done it right.
Will you be at the Indy 500 this year?
I will. I'll be on pit road.
Okay.
Going back after 11 years away.
How much pressure is on Kyle Larson? After last year, he didn't get to Charlotte in time. He's going to try again. Come on, the weather has to behave. Cause
it has to.
I haven't thought that there was a guy that could actually pull off both since Tony Stewart.
Absolutely. That kid, sometimes I wonder if he has a pulse. Like, nothing nothing gets to him. His nerves, like, he just gets in and drives the race car, and all he wants to do is win. This year, it's a little different because they know NASCAR's already said, like, if you don't start this race, like, your chances for the championship. So they know if the weather comes, this is our cutoff. We have to get to Charlotte. Last year, they didn't have that. They were able to wait. I was on pit road in his box for 600 when he walked walked up, it literally started raining. It was like the same storm that followed us, because I was at back Indy with him doing the double with him. Ended up having to drop all those plans. Flew back to Charlotte with Jimmy Johnson. Thankfully, he was flying so I could do my job for the 600. It was a mess. The weather was a freaking mess. So hopefully this year it's on our side. Larson has a great opportunity. They're on track, actually, as we speak right now in Indy for the test.
So cool to talk to Jamie. Such a nice individual, and so glad that she was able to join our show. And she does a fantastic job with NASCAR, IndyCar, whatever you ask her to do. Play-by-play, pit road, doesn't matter. She does a great job. Coming up next, we go to the fairgrounds. Again, we've been telling you they have a big event coming up this weekend. Anthony Tate, their general manager, will join the show on the other side. It's Chasing Checkers, 1025, 1063, the game. We are back, Chasing Checkers, debut edition, re-debut, I guess, 1025, 1063, the game, and we talk all aspects of racing, including local racing at my favorite short track, Nashville Fairgrounds Speedway. They're in action this weekend, Friday and Saturday night, quarter mile action on Friday, and on the big track on Saturday with the Music City 150, the Arca Menards Series East race. And to talk more about that, Anthony Tate, the general manager of the Nashville Fairgrounds Speedway, is on the line with us. Anthony, how the heck are you?
Chase, it's great to be here today. Thanks so much for having me, and we're over here just getting ready.
So I am excited. It's a two-day show, but you guys are going to have the Arca cars out there, which a lot of people obviously follow, but you're also going to have the super late models going with them. It's going to be a packed night Saturday.
It is, Chase. Another batch of heavy hitters is set for Saturday night. It's the North South Super Late Model Challenge 100. We have names such as Bubba Pollard, Gavin Bushell, Casey Klein. The list goes on. I believe there's 20 or so already entries, and then also with the Arc Menard Series East, we're really excited for those drivers and teams to be here for the first time this year. Local driver Hunter Wright, homegrown talent from Lebanon, Tennessee, is going to be in the field. And then Austin Vaughn and Quinn Davis as well, who's an up-and-comer through the INEX Bandolero Series, earning Rookie of the Year. So there's just a number of young drivers and talented drivers that are going to be here at the fairgrounds this weekend. It all starts, like you said, on Friday with our quarter mile action. Bandoleros, Legends, Pure Stocks, Front Runners, and the famous limited late models on the quarter mile. It's going to be a jam-packed evening for sure.
Well, and I'll get to Friday more here in just a second, but having the super late models and those guys, those local drivers, homegrown drivers, along with, you know, the big show, as you may want to call it, with the Arca Menards Series East coming in, I mean, that puts those guys on a different stage because, you know, people are thinking like, hey, I'm here to see Arca. They're going to see some of the up-and-coming talent that's homegrown here in Nashville, which is really cool.
Yeah, no, it really is. And along with that, you know, it's an opportunity for these local drivers and young guys as well to take an opportunity and see some of the legends that have come through it. I know Bobby Labonte will be here with his team, and just so many great drivers have gone through the Arca Menards East Series and raced here. And so for our locals to have that opportunity to race alongside them, is going to be a really, really exciting show and a great opportunity for the drivers as well.
So I am excited. Anthony Tate is with us. He is the general manager of the Nashville Fairgrounds Speedway. I'm excited about Friday night because, one, I love the quarter mile. I love the Legends cars and Bandoleros and, you know, it just beating and banging there on the front stretch in that quarter mile. But I'm also excited because I get to wave the green flag for something. I've never done that before.
Yeah, we had talked about it a little bit in the weeks leading up, Chase, and we're really excited to have you. We're going to have, you know, the quarter mile special on Friday night. And to see you in the flag stand, that's going to be a lot of fun. All the action gets started Friday afternoon. And you know, racing is going to start around 6:30 on Saturday. I'm sorry, on Friday, and then on Saturday, racing will get started at 5:00. So get your tickets now in advance on Nashville Fairgrounds Racing, speedway.racing. It's going to be a great weekend, and all the food and vendors are going to be out, and the beer is going to be probably pretty cold too, if I had to guess.
Well, it usually is. I have a feeling people that are driving around listening to this right now are going, man, I haven't been to a race out the fairgrounds in forever. I need to go check that out. Or they're saying, I've never been. I need to go check that out. What can people expect coming out to the Nashville Fairgrounds Speedway? Because if you've never been, you are truly missing out on one of the iconic historic short tracks in the United States.
Well, I think to answer that question, Chase, it comes down to, you know, Tennessee and our state is a driver's state. We've had so many legends in our communities that have come and raced on this asphalt and the high banks. And so when you come into the facility, not only the historical feel to it, but also it is some of the best racing, short track racing in America. And we're very proud of that. We have a deep heritage, and we have a great respect for that. And the drivers who get behind these wheels, they want to win. So everyone who comes through, they want to get that guitar trophy and be in victory lane at the end of the night. So you're going to see a lot of really, really good racing for the new fans and fans who may have not been out in a long time. You know, you'll be greeted to a great show both Friday and Saturday.
It's going to be a packed weekend. I know you got other stuff on the calendar as well, including some stuff around when NASCAR comes out to the Nashville Super Speedway. So it's going to be a packed summer out at the fairgrounds, correct?
It is, and we were really excited to announce, I believe 2 weeks ago, Josh Berry from the NASCAR Cup Series ranks will be joining us for the Battle of Broadway presented by Rackley Roofing that Thursday evening, coming into NASCAR Cup weekend at Nashville Super Speedway. That's going to be a great one as well on the calendar for us. And yes, like you said, the rest of the summer is jam-packed with great local short track racing here at Nashville Fairgrounds Speedway.
Anthony, thanks so much for doing this. I'm looking forward to Friday night and a full weekend of racing out at the fairgrounds, but really appreciate it.
Likewise, Chase, looking forward to seeing you in the flag stand and taking pictures with the fans Friday night. And looking forward to all of our fans being here. And like I said, get your tickets in advance. Save a little bit of money there. Nashville Fairgrounds Speedway .racing for all the information, schedule details, and tickets. So looking forward to it. Thanks again, Chase, and we'll talk to you soon.
Awesome. That's Anthony Tate, the general manager, Nashville Fairgrounds Speedway. And again, Friday and Saturday night on the high banks, the quarter mile on Friday, which is going to be a lot of fun. And I'll be there waving the green flag. That should be interesting. And also Saturday with the ARCA and the super late models as well. Nashville Fairgrounds Speedway.racing is where you can go and get your tickets. You guys know how near and dear this place is to me. So very excited for a fun weekend. We will come back. We will look at Texas Motor Speedway. That's where NASCAR will be, and also IndyCar at Barber Motorsports Park. We'll do that. Coming up next, it's Chasing Checkers on this Wednesday night here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. And welcome back into Chasing Checkers, 102.5, 106.3 The Game here on this Wednesday. Hope you're having a wonderful day. Hope it's been a good one for you. Let's give you your racing calendar that we got for you here on the Game Nashville Sports Network, because we are your racing station. You can find it if it is on the radio. On Sunday, starting at noon on Sports Talk 8:30 a.m., you can hear Joseph Newgarden in the IndyCar series there at Barber Motorsports Park down in Birmingham. That coverage will start at noon on Sports Talk 8:30. And then on 94.9 The Fan, at the conclusion of Sounds Baseball, as they take on the Gwinnett Stripers, you can hear the Worth 400 at the Texas Motor Speedway, NASCAR's coverage there. So check it all out. You can hear it on one of our three stations. We will have you covered with both NASCAR and IndyCar, and obviously we love being able to do that. One thing I want to get to before we talk about Texas was we go back to the Cindric and Logano incident that happened that has everybody talking. And I mentioned, talking about the where you can hear the race, the Gwinnett Stripers. Well, that's the AAA affiliate of the Atlanta Braves. Chipper Jones is a big NASCAR fan. Hall of Fame Braves third baseman. He was clearly paying attention and watching on Sunday and had thoughts, so he took to Twitter after the incident where the audio aired and all that stuff, and he said from his Twitter account, quote, "Congrats to Austin Cindric on his Talladega win." This was at the end. "Good teammates are hard to come by, boss. Remember that one? Remember that one of yours MF'd you on national TV when in all actuality you did everything possible to keep him, to keep from wrecking him. Hate to be deuces in the team meeting on Monday. Some people are hooray for our team as long as I'm the star, as every team has them. Hendrick, RCR, JGR, Penske, etc. Sometimes karma's glorious. Enjoy this one. In case anyone is confused, let me be clear. At Joey Logano." Number one, I'm going to credit Chipper because he added Joey Logano. A lot of people don't like to do that. He did that, so I'm glad that he was able to do that. So there was a lot of discussion there. Chipper even said later, couldn't even congratulate Cindric in the post-race, hashtag team player. At least he mentioned being selfish in the interview, credit. And so people kind of came at Chipper of like, what, you've never gotten mad at a teammate or something like that? And there was a back and forth. It was kind of interesting to me that Chip didn't think that way, that he kind of weighed in from that sense. Logano was actually asked about it at an event at North Wilkesboro this week. Here was Logano's answer.
So I'm surprised that a professional athlete would act in that manner because he's been through it, right? Like I say it all the time. I am very careful to form an opinion on an athlete by their emotions or the way they play the game, because I know from being in that position, when there's that much on the line in a competitive environment, you act a certain way because you're out there to win, right? And you got to be able to shut that off. I would have assumed, him being the athlete that he is and was, that he would understand that and not mouth off on social media like somebody has never played the sport before or a sport. It's surprising to me. All I can think is just trying to be relevant still or something like that. I don't really know exactly why. Like I said, I've never met him. I don't have a reason to dislike him outside of now. But
well, hopefully they don't dislike each other too much, but both are champions. But I kind of get Joey's point here. I get Chipper, you know, I think in the moment. But again, Chipper's been on teams. He's had moments with teammates and discussions. But it shows you the reach that NASCAR has, that, and again, like a viral moment like that, people can certainly talk about, or will, people are certainly talking about it, I should say. And I think that's pretty cool that it's carried on like it has. But just found that to be interesting from race week and earlier in the week. Now we move on to the Texas Motor Speedway, which is a track that I mean, we've seen it struggle over the years with the crowds, but I like it. I think I like the racing there. It had the All-Star race, used to have a couple races a year. This is the 45th running of a NASCAR Cup Series race at the Texas Motor Speedway, so it's been around for a while now. And a 400-mile, 267-lap. The last eight Cup Series races at the Texas Motor Speedway have been won by eight different drivers, which is pretty cool. So definitely could give somebody different an opportunity to win. A total of 24 drivers have won, and eight of the 24 winners are active. Kyle Busch has a bunch of wins there. Denny Hamlin has won there a couple times. Logano has won there. Dillon's won there. Larson, Tyler Reddick, William Byron, and Chase Elliott won last year at the Texas Motor Speedway. So I think you're going to see some pretty good racing there. And as some of the drivers will tell you, it's an old, worn-out racetrack, which, you know, can make it fun. William Byron talked about what makes Texas treacherous, because it's tough to get around.
I think it just has to do with the pavement. The pavement there in the banking and the fact that you're set up for two different ends of the track. So what I mean by that is, you know, your heights and the way the car is set up to go through one and two is much different than three and four. So three and four, if you want to be good, you have to get through the bump or bumps, series of them. But you're going much faster, and if you set up for that, then one and two is bad, and you're not as set up for that.
I will say he's on the right team because Hendrick Motorsports have won the last four Texas races with three different drivers: Chase Elliott, Byron back in 23, and then Kyle Larson as well in 21. So they certainly have success at this racetrack, even though it can be, you know, tough to get around at times because of the old worn out surface. It's fast still, but I don't know. I've never been there, but I enjoy watching it on TV. It's certainly, certainly, you know, fun. And Josh Berry, of course, Hendersonville's own, kind of commented on how each end is very different at Texas.
It's definitely a unique layout. I think that, you know, each end of the track is so drastically different that I think part of the problem is that it's very hard to get your car really balanced on both ends, right? Like turn one is much slower. You know, getting off of turn two there is really important because it sets you up to carry all that momentum through three and four. But, you know, to be on that good end, good on one and two, I think you have to, you'll have your hands full a little bit in three and four just with the speed. So I think that's where you find the, you know, the sketchiness of it is going through three, you know, nearly wide open, and it, you know, makes it a handful.
That was Josh Berry again. Both those clips courtesy of MRN, Motor Racing Network. We'll hear from one more driver here in just a second. But I think that's what makes this new car so exciting is, I call it the new car, I mean, it's like 4 years old now. But the Gen 7 car, the next gen car, is you just get some really good racing on these intermediate racetracks. So I'm hoping that Texas can do that. I feel like that's a good market, the Dallas-Fort Worth market. So I want to see them, you know, have success and have good side-by-side racing. But it's going to be a long, tough day for the drivers. As Michael McDowell will tell you, it can take your breath away.
The bump in turn four on the high side is a big challenge, especially on restarts. You know, the track is very daunting still today, even as it ages, because the speeds are so high. These cars are right on edge. And now you have some of that character with those bumps. And our cars are so low that when you bottom out, they kind of take off. And I wasn't the only car to back it into the fence there while trying to get the lead. We saw a few after that do it as well. And just shows, typically cup guys don't make a ton of mistakes, and we saw a lot of mistakes there, which just shows the challenge of the racetrack and how committed you have to be to really, you know, get around there. So it's still one of those places that it can take your breath away at times.
It certainly can, but it makes for exciting racing all at the same time. The Cup Series, the Xfinity Series, and the Truck Series will all be there this weekend. One note to pass along that came out a little earlier: Connor Zilich, who of course has been the phenom in the Xfinity Series for Junior Motorsports, driving the number 88. He had that hard crash at Talladega last Saturday. He will miss the Xfinity race this week due to back injuries that he sustained at Talladega. And he plans to return to the 88 as soon as he possibly can when he's cleared. Kyle Larson will race the 88 in his place in the Xfinity Series this weekend for Junior Motorsports. So we wish Connor a speedy recovery. Hope he can get back in that race car sooner rather than later. But hey, if you're going to have a sub, Larson isn't a bad one to have. That is for sure. He's been quite successful, as we know. That is going to do it for this edition, the re-debut of Chasing Checkers. Again, we're going to be here every Wednesday night at 6 o'clock. So look forward to that. Plus, you can catch the podcast, and also it'll replay through the weekends before racing as well. But my thanks to Nashville Super Speedway. NashvilleSuperspeedway.com is where you can get your tickets to the Cracker Barrel 400 weekend. Also, the Xfinity and Truck Series will be there with the Tennessee Lottery 250 on Saturday, and then Friday night, the Rackley Roofing 200 for the Truck Series. All three races under the lights this year. So really looking forward to that. May 30th through June the 1st. 1-866 Race Ticks. Also, the Nashville Fairgrounds Speedway, their big weekend. Definitely go check it out with the ARCA Music City 150 and the North South Slim 100. and plus the quarter mile special on Friday night. Just go to NashvilleFairgroundsSpeedway.racing for tickets. We'll talk to you next week here on 102.5, 106.3, The Game.